Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. This is now Soul Class number 354, A Tale of Two Light Bulbs, Part 2. And we were just listening to the a cappella, or at least half of the a cappella version of Go the Distance by the Maccabees. Blessed souls, we're broadcasting live right now on May 22nd, May 14th, starting at 10:30 a.m. It's now about 10:02, Eastern Standard Time from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Uniting Souls. Actually, we're continuing to pluck out inspirations from a Hasidic Maimer discourse delivered over 190 years ago by the Mittler Rebbe, direct descendant of Kings David and Solomon. Our journey during this program will briefly probe divine attributes of judgment and mercy. Hopefully you are now joining in the jam without the spiritual peanut butter. Or maybe the spiritual peanut butter with our jammings is a fitting way to best be nourished by our humble efforts during this broadcast. The choice is yours. Empowered by your divine image, your blessed soul. Meanwhile, may the Most High Creator bless you and your loved ones pleasantly and peacefully. And bless us. Before we bring on our co-host Dennis Ryan, I just want to make a comment. Last year around this time, I had come across a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman Schneerson, Schussi Yogaleno, may his merits protect us, that he had advocated that the Moda Ani prayer, the prayer that we of the nation of Israel say every morning, is something that everyone can say, and even though most people who are listening right now, in fact, are awake, and if you're hearing me in your dreams, well, that's pretty interesting. Anyway, the prayer goes like this, and it doesn't really matter who you are as a human being, what your faith is, but here's the way the prayer goes. It's very short, it's very powerful, it's a reminder that we're alive. It goes like this. I'll say it first in Hebrew, and then we'll translate it into English. Moda ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayom, Shachazarta bi nishmat si vechemna rabba munasecha. I thank you, living and enduring King, for you have graciously returned my soul within me. Great is your faithfulness. Joining me live right now is Dennis Ryan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Don, and we have another gift to open, and this day is called Yom Hamishi.
That's right. It is now the fifth day of the creation, and with that being said, we are now going to go right into our program content. I lost my studio board, although I know we're still broadcasting. Let me just get it back for 1 second. And then a one, and a two, and a three, and we're now back in the studio. Here we go. Okay, blessed souls. Last week we were talking about ideas of encompassing level of godliness. known as Soved Kol Almin, and levels of godliness, Elokus, called Mamalek Almin, the light of the Creator, which fills the creation according to each fiber of the creation's capacity to receive that energy, that divine light, just as we talked about in our allegory of light bulb number 1 and 2. One was clear glass and one was greeny glass, but each one can only receive 60 watts of electricity in order to shine out the light. Now we're going to tie this into two names of the Creator. There are many names of the Creator in Hebrew. And not only that, there are Ein Sof. There is no end to the amount of attributes that the Creator has. In fact, we can't just pin down the Creator to one attribute. I know sometimes some people fixate on one name of Creator or another name of Creator. And that's why in our prayers of the Israeli Jewish nation, we mention in our blessings to Creator, blessed are you. Ultimately, we're talking to the you, the ultimate sense of you, Creator, you who are beyond any names. But in particular as well, it does help us to focus on the attribute of the Creator so we can hopefully internalize an instruction, how do those attributes of Creator relate to us and how we relate to the creation to make it a better world. So again, I'm plucking inspirations from a teaching from the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it goes like this. There happens to be a five-letter name of Creator, which is spelled out Aleph, followed by the Lamed, followed by the He, followed by the Yud, followed by the Mem Sofit, which I'll speak out as Elohim, which instructs human beings how God, Creator, is the source of all powers. However, the essence of the vitality, the chayut, the chayas, the sense of being alive, which is elicited from the source of all powers, which is reflected out by this name that we just mentioned, must also be elicited by a four-letter name of the Creator, the Yud, followed by the He, followed by the Vav, followed by the He, which serves as a means of considering and hopefully internalizing for all of us that the idea of the level of godliness which permeates all the creation, even though creation is not necessarily conscious of it, this godliness called Soved Kol Almin, the light that hovers all over the world, all over the creation, relates within and toward, directly into the concept of Creator's realm of divine oneness, which this divine oneness can exist simultaneously within the Olam Hazman, the world of time. And when we talk about time, we're talking about time as it relates to the past, time as it relates to the present, and time as it relates to the future. Yet still, this element, created entity of time, must remain subservient to the Creator, because in the Creator's ultimate wisdom and will, He brought about this entity, this created entity called time. And this divine name that we just mentioned, the Yud, followed by the He, followed by the Vav, followed by the He, which is the source of all creation revelation, which manifests itself from within Creator, can be involved as well as energizing that attribute of the Creator, which gives power to every individual aspect of creation. So the energy that, say, Dennis and I are receiving is because we are human beings with a divine image. It's not going to be the same type of energy as, say, the energy to the lowly snail. But at the same time, too, as we're getting that energy, which gives us more vitality than, say, the life force of a snail, if we don't know our purpose on earth, we are actually allegorically crawling lower than that, so to speak, lowly snail. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, as humans, we have a problem. And you mentioned it before, that there's many names for our Creator. But we have never settled on any one name because we see him in many different ways. But then again, we call him G-O-D, God. But his real name is Mr. Everything, But we don't do that because that's a human expression. So how are we going to use a label, a tag, or a name on an entity that includes everything? We can't in English. We're limited by the language. So we try to take it piecemeal. But when you say God, the Creator, we know that you are trying to include everything in your human being to relate to the spiritual entity. Why? Because he's there, you know it, but we don't communicate in English with him because it's our feelings and our thoughts that are transpired in the communication. So yes, there's energy there, we know it's there, but we puny humans cannot describe it in English terms.
Well, at the same time, too, Dennis, I would just want to clarify, I do not advocate picking one divine name over another because our consciousness is constant, because our thoughts are constant. So we can grab certain bits of information that are shared from us from the world of Torah, from the world of science, from the world of biology to help us get an approximation of this process of creation and vitality. And I just want to say that although English is not the original language of creation, it is doing a fine job, I think, for hundreds of millions of people around the world, as we are talking right now about God and godliness and godly attributes. But that spirit of humility still must permeate us that we're speaking in the language of English. We know that there's a realm of understanding which is beyond English, because it's really a rather modern language, only about 1,000 years old, as opposed to the ancient original tongue of human beings, according to the oral Torah tradition, being the Hebrew, not because it was spoken by Hebrew Jewish people, but because it happened to be the first language of the human family experience. Now, to understand what
Don,
we just,
let me just put it this, if you love God, the name is unimportant.
Ultimately, it's because, because the love, the purpose is to get to the love, which is to, he loves us, he gives us life. But the purpose is that we should come to love the one who loves us much more than we can ever love back. But it gives, it so to speak, gives pleasure above that, just that it gives a parent, I mean, I'm speaking on a very simple term, a parent enjoys the love of their children. And certainly the Creator, who loves us whether we pay attention or not to him, or Creator, it certainly creates some sort of satisfaction or feeling of, hey, you know, I'm glad the children are thinking of me. But again, we have to be very careful. God is not a human. So when we say we're giving satisfaction to God, it's not like the same. It's on a much higher level of accessing a connection to Creator that we create, so to speak, that English word of satisfaction for him. Now, to understand what was just stated, we want to consider our blessed human souls emanating from our blessed Creator, who created our blessed souls, who divinely blew our souls within us, and who guards our souls within our blessed bodies. Dennis, your take on this matter.
He created our image, our form, to sell them, but he did it in such a way that it would serve a purpose so that our time here on earth could be fruitful and we could give glory to God as we go about our lives. Because this is all a test, and we're on trial. So we have to do our best, even though we know we're imperfect, we can commit wrongdoings, but we have a way of overcoming that. So therefore, he's given us ways to end up on the good side of right and wrong. But it's your choice.
Amen. Now, inner dimensions of Torah, the Panimit of Torah, instruct us concerning the following axiom. Creator blew into our bodies our blessed souls, and our souls that were blown into us is alluding to an Or Eloki, a divine light, and within that divine light there emanates out a chayos, a vitality, which once dispersed within our soul, as our soul is enclosed in our body, is then distributed within all, within all of our blessed bodily limbs. Now, this level of divine light, or panimi, is so called due to its vitality of this divine light, can be brought down to each and every limb in the body. And again, to each and every bodily limb is only according to what that limb can receive. Every human limb only has a certain amount of capacity to receive a certain amount of vitality and light, divine light. So we're talking about here, blessed souls, an aspect of nefesh, of soul, which is relevant to enclothing itself, once again, as we mentioned just now, before, within our blessed human bodies. However, the saga of our blessed soul also entails us, if we wish to learn about a higher dimension of the saga of our blessed soul, there's an encompassing level of our soul, which are called makifim and nefesh, which do not enclose itself within our body, does not reach the furthest extremities of our body limbs down to the tips of our toes, giving life force in a sense that our toenails would feel it and we can understand and sense that encompassing level of the soul enlivening our toenails. So we could pose a question. So what's the significance of us coming to become aware of the fact that we do possess as human beings makifim hanefesh, the encompassing levels of the soul? And as I'm talking about this, I'm thinking, well, one reason why we should become interested in this subject, because we just have to go back to Genesis, blessed souls, to remember, in the beginning it said that Creator God formed man out of the earth, and then he blew the spirit of life into his nostrils. It didn't say Creator revealed the spirit of life within our body. He blew it within our nostrils, meaning that force of energy, that force of soul, that force of vitality came from outside of our original design, and our original design was formed out of clay. So the clay itself had its own energizing force, but that unique dimension of human soul came from outside of our own physical bodies, as written openly in the scripture, in the book of Genesis. And along with that, but still, hopefully we can balance that with the humbling truth that while our soul is godly, because God, the Creator, blew it into our nostrils, yet still that soul is still just another particle, as we talked about last week, another mustard seed of the creation, which must make its humble abode within that aspect of creation known as our bodies upon this blessed human, or actually this blessed earth, not human earth, well, humans live on the earth, but upon this blessed earth. Dennis, your take on these matters.
I believe all humans were made from creation or recreation. And in that process, as I believe, is that God embedded a spiritual umbilical cord in everybody's head. And you cannot ignore it. At some time, you have to face it. But you have to understand, are you going to use it to your advantage? Are you going to ignore it? It's up to you. He gave you a free will. But the connection is there. The connection will always be there. Do you want to be connected?
And you brought up a very good point, Dennis, the fact that we were created out of nothing. That's the ultimate form of something encompassing us, because we are something as entities, tangible entities as human beings, living on a tangible entity called the earth, which we can walk on the earth. We can hew things out of the earth. We can swim in the water. We can breathe the air that encompasses the earth. We have a choice, if we want to become more aware of those things which are beyond our existential moment-to-moment realization that we are being vitalized within our body, but also from realms above our own physical continuance. Now, the maintenance of the continuance of our blessed soul within the blessed creation and within our particular blessed bodies, again, as it ultimately chains out, chains down, up and down, and horizontally to all the different body limbs that we have, again, is ultimately, according to the teachings of Panimiya Sator, the inner dimensions of Torah, to the idea of not just the godly light which surrounds all the worlds and the creation is not aware of it until one accesses teachings of Torah, but again, the makifim and nefesh, the encompassing levels of soul, serve to reveal constantly and without measure additional vitality beyond any specific measurement. This process of makifim and nefesh, or this understanding of the encompassing levels of the soul, which illuminate upon the panemius anefesh, the internalizable forms of the soul which enclose itself in the body, can, so to speak, understood from a type of distance from point A to point B. And we can even simplify it even more, that if we consider, say, a Border Patrol Soldier 1, whose position is standing between the exact border lines of neighboring countries, number 2 and number 3. Now, this Border Patrol Soldier, so to speak, is protecting the citizens of country 2, even though the citizens of country number 2 are not aware of the activities of Border Patrol Soldier number 1, because the citizens of country number 2 may live 100 or even 300 miles away from the exact border lines of country number 2 and country number 3, where tensions dictate a Border Patrol Soldier number 1 stand upon his or her post to prevent, so to speak, conflict between country number 2 and country number 3. So what are we alluding to, Blessed Souls? That Border Patrol Soldier number 1 is the body. And we'll say country number 2 is that level of the body which is relating to the level of soul which can go into the body. And country number 3 is the level of the makifim and nefesh, which need to be, so to speak, tapered down by divine providence, not to overwhelm the ore, the light, and the potentiality and the vitality of country number 2, the light of the level of soul which will enclose itself in the human body. So the human body, so to speak, in and of itself is like an intermediary to serve as a vessel to absorb the light of the soul, the energy of the soul into the body. But at the same time too, because it is not a vessel, so to speak, to receive and internalize the makifim and nefesh, the encompassing levels of the soul, it, so to speak, protects itself and that, so to speak, the levels of the soul which are giving energy to that body. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, it may be Earth and a lot of humans here, but we're constantly surrounded by what I call spiritual energy. It's in the air, it's in our soul, it's in every cell of our body. It all relates to the Creator. Some people can see it, some people can't. Some people can feel it, others can't. It's there. If you make an effort, you can understand it, and you can be a part of it. But it doesn't matter if it's day or night. The spiritual energy is ever present. That's because God is open all hours, all time. And he is waiting for you to build a connection with him for any reason that you can conceive. He's open. That's why I called him Mr. Everything before, because there's nothing that can get past him under any circumstance. So we must realize that the environment that we're living in has a certain amount, or a lot of it, of spiritual energy. Use it.
Beautiful. Yeah, Dennis, in other words, that Creator is not only at Creator's post, and again, which is not like a human post or a guardianship, as we talked about allegorically, Patrol Soldier number 1, he is not only 24/7, he is the source for which, that's why we have the concept of 24 hours, 7 days a week. With that being said, Blessed, we're actually going to conclude now, because again, this is just a brief presentation to hopefully provide for you some sort of vapors, aroma, some whiff of teachings of from the written and oral dimensions of Torah that perhaps you have considered but didn't want to pursue it, or perhaps you didn't consider it, didn't understand, or didn't were not aware of such teachings were in existence. But yes, there are, and not only that, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pages concerning these matters in Hebrew, in English, in Aramaic, in Yiddish, in German, in Latin, in French, in Spanish, and of course, good old English, whether it be the anglicized one from jolly old England or here in the good old USA, uniting souls actually. But at this point in time, I want to thank Dennis Ryan profusely, and hopefully, Dennis, we will be able to reunite Sunday morning on in search of ancient, authentic Torah. And before we conclude, would I make my concluding statement? Dennis, any words of wisdom to share with our Blessed Soul class audience?
Yes, pray. Pray as much as you can, because it's a form of humility. How can you not practice humility when you realize you need help? When you need help, you pray. Some people say, well, if I don't need help, I shouldn't pray. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Prayer is good at any time.
Amen. I say amen to that. And now we're going to conclude, as we usually have been doing, down this time of Sfiras HaOmer, which is a time of partial mourning for the Jewish people. And we still haven't talked about that. Maybe why this period is considered a partial period of mourning. Well, maybe we'll talk about it without a vow on the next edition of Soul Class. Hopefully this coming Sunday morning, but details to follow with our promotional pieces, which appear on Facebook and also Twitter and Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, that being said, blessed souls, I just want to remind everyone, Ateva Tov Leheitiv, it is the nature of the good to do good. And you're good, whether you like it or not, whether you accept the idea, whether you're struggling with it, because the Creator is a source of all goodness, put you on the earth. It's embedded somewhere in your DNA. For sure, it's located directly in your divine image to help you get up and scrimmage to realize the Tzelem Elokim is not a dream. Concluding now with Yosef Kaderna Shirmal's a cappella, Psalm 121, Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph. I'm going to read in English, then we'll go right to the sweet sounds of Yosef Kaderna, who lives in the land of the living Eretz Israel. A song for a sense, I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come from? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from now into eternity. In the way of Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, Ba'ahav Achad, with one love, Goral Achad, one destiny, Kolano, for all of us. In a pleasant, peaceful way, Lahamshik, to be continued, Bezer Hashem, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High. Take care. Stay well.
הנה לא ינום, ינום ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומרך, השם צירך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. He השם ישמור צדך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם.